Morning. We've faced this disaster before and have overcome it. We're almost out of cookies. And we don't want to see that happen. So you might want to do what I was approached by a couple young women who were selling Girl Scout cookies. And I'm a weak man. So God knows I did not need Girl Scout cookies within the reach of my arm. So I said, I'd love to have some Girl Scout cookies, and purchased them and made the address the church. So you can prevent disaster. Gracious and holy God, startle us. With the divine flame that burns within each and every soul. Amen. So this afternoon, millions of people, you know I couldn't go the whole morning without mentioning it, millions of people will practice, really, their true religion. Myself included, so this isn't judgment. And this morning we're gonna turn and eat bread and drink from the cup. And this afternoon the elements will take more of the form of beer and nachos. So I was really thinking about this from a marketing perspective. Because, you know, I'm always trying to think of how can we continue to share, you know, the good news of who we are and invite people to be part of who we are. What do you think of communion with nachos and beer? I really think this would draw a crowd. I may be without a job, but it would draw a crowd. How are you? How's your soul? How are you within? When's the last time you've asked yourself those questions? Really stopped long enough, shut out all of the distractions, listened. How am I? How am I within? I mean, we think nothing of going to the doctor for a physical checkup. To check on how our bodies are doing, the physical health of our bodies. What about our spiritual health? What about the well-being of our spirit, the well-being of our soul? Towards the end of his career, psychoanalyst Carl Jung said, there is not one patient who in the second half of their life would not solve all of their problems by nurturing a deeper connection with the numinous, the one we call God. Think about that. Carl Jung, fairly respected, considers at the heart of every problem, lies a spiritual issue of some kind that needs to be looked at. So let me ask you again, how are you? How are you within? How is your spirit? As Jenny mentioned, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at that very question of soul care, tending the spirit within. Father Richard Rohr says, we are a circumference people. We live on the circumference. We have lived on the edges, he says. We live on the edges of our life, and we have called it the essence. He said, we have named the superficial that to be of something of substance. He said, we spend and invest so much of our time and energy in our possessions that rare is it that we have those moments of transcendence where we are possessed by something much greater than ourselves. Just we're going to stop for a second because I think a child is a moment of transcendence. You know, I was just thinking about that, and I think so. That's what happens to our spirit and our soul. That's a moment of transcendence. You know, we might think, well, what do I have to do, and what's my agenda, and I can't be interrupted. It's amazing what happens to the soul when you just stop. Listen to a child. And allow that child in you to come forth. But having done that, I have no idea what comes next. Yeah, that's right. You know, we talk about God, it seems to me. We read books about God. We argue about God. But do we experience, do we notice the mysterious transforming presence of God in our lives? It would seem to me that often we fall into the temptation of pushing God out to the sidelines of our existence rather than being at the center of our existence. And what happens is we then approach our faith as something to be brought into us to bring us comfort, or something to be used in a moralistic way to point the finger at somebody else. What we miss is that the God we come to worship on Sundays is the creator of the universe. The God we come to worship on Sundays is the mystery we will never, ever fathom. The God we come to worship on Sundays is the ground of our being, the energy within every living creature, the breath of life, the light of the world. Reverend Barbara Merritt says, even if you don't believe in God, you need to realize that you yourself are not God. There are times I forget that. There are times I think a lot of people forget that, where she suggests that we need to realize that we are not God, that we are actually part of something greater than ourselves. You know the song, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are? You know, at the heart of spirituality is that kind of humility, really, that kind of that wonder. But it would seem to me that we so often turn that around and turn that upside down, where we sing, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, I bet you wonder where I am. I bet you wonder who I am. So again, we live on the circumference, but we assume it's the center. And Barbara Merritt says, it takes most people a lifetime, to realize they are not God. For some, it's a daily discipline to be reminded. So I was thinking that maybe that is a term for spirituality. Maybe a term for spirituality is to be reminded, to remember that we are not God, but yet we are mysteriously, amazingly, part of something greater than ourselves. Because when we remember That's when I think we move from the circumference to the center. That's when we move from living for ourselves to allowing ourselves to be carried by that which is greater than ourselves. Scripture says, but before I get to Scripture, it just triggered to me, Brother Lawrence, a 17th century mystic, defined spirituality, and I love this, practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. What would it look like if you practiced the presence of God in all that you do? Even the most mundane task and all that you are. Scripture in Genesis says in the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the deep. And then it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light does not come from the sun or the moon or the stars. What this is saying is that at the very center of all things, at the very core of all things, there is light. A divine flame, if you would. The light that we boldly dare to proclaim in a place like this, that was manifest in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a light that Jesus gave witness to us that says no amount of darkness will ever, can ever, extinguish that light. And that light is at the center of all things, including you. Including you. There's an amazing philosopher and theologian, Houston Smith, an expert on world religions, and Houston Smith says, the human being is a lantern. That, I'm pointing as if you can see that, is a lantern that contains the divine flame. But what happens, he says, is the lantern, the surface of the lantern, gets covered with soot and dirt and even mud. So much so that we no longer sense that flame. We no longer see that light. In some ways, we even begin to doubt that it's even there or that it's ever been there. But yet it's always there. So Houston Smith says, spiritual practice is that which polishes the surface of the lantern so that that divine flame is revealed. And in being revealed, it illumines the whole of your life. So spiritual practice is polishing, you know, all that soot and dirt and mud that kind of gets covered. It's polishing that away to reveal the light that has always been there. And that light then changes the way we see everything. Our scripture today in Psalm 51 said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Now, heart in the Hebrew, heart, it's not the organ that beats. Heart in the Hebrew here, what the psalmist is really saying is, create for me, heart is my entire interior life, my inside, my soul. Create in me a clean soul, O God. And put a right spirit within me. Again, we get so moralistic. This has been interpreted so often about do's and don'ts and shoulds and shouldn'ts and moralistics. Right in the Hebrew, righteousness, right relatedness is what it's really saying. Restore me, the psalmist is praying. Restore me to right relatedness. I've become disconnected from my true self, disconnected from you, O God, disconnected from others. Polish the surface of my lantern and restore me to life in your spirit. And what occurs to me as I was reading the psalmist is the psalmist seems to know that it is God who gives us spiritual life. I mean, if I go down to Barnes & Noble, I can find 1,001 books on how to develop spirituality. How to develop spirituality. Well, if I develop spirituality, I have become God. It's the Spirit that develops us. We don't develop spirituality. We allow the Spirit to develop us. In fact, Tony Jones, in his book, The Sacred Way, defines spirituality to be enlivened by God's Spirit. So what the psalmist is saying to us is God is the giver. We are the receiver. Spirituality is not something we attain, achieve, earn. In some ways, all we do is offer to God our lantern, whose surface is full of soot and dirt and mud. Create in me a clean heart, O God. So our task is to wake up. Our task is to be awakened to what already is there. Our task is to notice. We're not the ones doing the creating. Our task is to pay attention to what already is. In fact, one of the ancient teachers says if you want to grow spiritually, you don't need to do anything. Just notice. We provided for you, and it's down there. We provided for you a spiritual resource that's at the doors, at all of the doors, just a little sheet here that has two spiritual practices that you can grab as you leave that we want to invite you to try for February. I think there's only 28 days, right? Are there really? Well, then forget this. This won't work. But we'd love you to try this in February, just for the month of February. Just try it on. Two spiritual practices, a morning practice and an evening practice that are all about polishing the surface of the lantern, that we might notice the divine flame that is already there. The evening practice really simply is an adaptation of something created by St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was the founder of the Jesuit Order of Priests, and he created something called the Daily Examine. This is adapted from this. And the invitation, St. Ignatius kind of said, you know, when you spend a day, you live a day, and you go back and review your day, what he notices, what we tend to do is we evaluate our day, we examine our day, the highs and the lows, through the filter of how did it make me feel? You know, how did I feel? So the highs and the lows are based on what made me feel good, what made me feel bad. Well, where's the center in that approach? Ourselves. It's all about ourselves. We become the center through that kind of examination. So what he suggests, well, what would happen if we changed the lens? And it was no longer about highs and lows and what made you feel good and feel bad. What if the lens was looking back at your day or your week, where did you notice the movement and the flow of God's Spirit? Where did you notice God's Spirit blocked? Or maybe feeling far away? Notice in that approach, the focus is no longer you, but God. And you may go back and notice, even in some of the most mundane events, you see God's presence. Because when you polish the lantern, that light there can make even the most mundane event sacred. So that's the evening one. The morning one is brew. You know, as you take time to brew up a cup of coffee in the morning, we want to suggest you spend 5 minutes brewing up something else. B-R-E-W. By the way, I'm not back to the nachos and beer on this one. On this one. It just occurred to me, that link there. And it's taking B-R-E-W and thinking about beginning each day. What if you began each day polishing the surface of your lantern? Be still. Be still. Even the fastest spinning wheel is still at the center. Dallas Willard says that the greatest barrier to a person's spiritual health is busyness, being hurried. Even if that hurry is in your mind, you might just be sitting in your living room and you're hurried in your mind. What he says is busyness and hurry prevent you from noticing what is. So this is using Psalm 46:10, and again, it's all there, and you can all hear, and you can grab it at the doors. But it's using Psalm 46:10. Imagine this: be still and know that I am God. And just using that phrase and just shortening it and allowing the words to settle in your soul. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. And just repeating that. And R is receive. Receive God's love. Imagine if you began the morning imagining yourself as an empty container and the abundance of God's love and grace is pouring in until it spills over. Which gets you ready for E, which is embrace the opportunity to be love. You know, even this afternoon, think of the people you're going to encounter today at that Super Bowl party or wherever you happen to be. I'm not sure this will work today, but imagine, though, visualizing yourself being able to see the divine flame in them. Imagine yourself, visualizing yourself. So you're beginning the day and you're thinking about your day. You're thinking about those difficult people and those difficult situations. See yourself embodying grace. Bringing grace to those moments. And W is welcome. Welcome the day. The gift of the day. Welcome the moment, each moment. Welcome God, who is already there. So polishing, tending the spirit within, polishing the surface of the lantern, revealing the divine flame that changes the way we see everything. Let me finish with there's a Hawaiian legend. This is in honor of Greg, who just is returning from Hawaii. There's a Hawaiian legend that says when you're born, each person is given a bowl filled with infinite light. But you know, as we travel through life, what happens is we collect stones along the way, don't we? We collect stones of hurt and woundedness. We collect stones of loss and grief. We collect stones of anger and resentment. We collect stones of selfishness and pride. We collect so many stones that we just kind of hang on to and don't let go of, that pretty soon that bowl is heavy and feels like such a burden. But yet the Great Spirit is always there, ready to receive that bowl if we just let go. And the Great Spirit takes that bowl, lifts it high, turns it over, until every last stone falls to the ground. And then the Great Spirit returns the bowl to you, and you hold it, and you remember the light that has always been there. And in remembering, the path is the same, but yet somehow your footsteps seem lighter, your heart freer, your spirit sings. May it be so. We worship God through the morning offering.